Praise God. I'm so excited to be here this morning. I knew it was going to be good. I just didn't know how good. I'm very thankful for what the Lord is doing in my heart these days because we're on a series called Following the Amazing Jesus. Following the Amazing Jesus. And today, I have a title of this message. It's, if we could repeat this, just say, True Followers Repent. Would you say that? True Followers Repent. I think that's the thing that God has, as a pastor, caring for your souls. It is my utmost importance that you make it all the way to the throne in glory. I desire that you stand before the Lord and you're thrilled at the outcome of the decisions you made. That's why we preach and teach the actual Word of God.
Amen.
We don't teach how the Reader's Digest or just tell stories.
Oh yeah.
In fact, if you can flip your notes over on the back. I want you to look at the middle of it. The world cares as little for the doctrine of repentance as it does for negative statements about sin. It is popular only among those who have grown weary of their sins and long for deliverance. And during those seasons when mankind is longing for a fresh beginning with God. The biblical doctrine of repentance hinges on the fact that all sin is a grievous affront against God. And the next question, when it comes to your theology, your understanding of who God is, does your theology come from the Word of God or does it come from the culture around you? There are people voting over what's sin and what's not. I don't think it's going to matter in front of Jesus what you voted. I think the Word of God is, and it's all of His authority, has already voted. Because you're dealing not with a cultural mindset, you're dealing with an eternal God. For heaven and earth will pass away, but He says, my words will never pass away. And so I come to you on the basis of the authority of the Word of God today. And in that, I want to invite you to become a person who lives in a realm of ready repentance in your soul. That you be a person that, I'll get to all of this in a minute, even deeper. But if you're stuck in your life, just sit down before the Lord and say, Lord, show me what I can repent of to get unstuck. If you're all clouded up in your head because of things you've seen that you shouldn't have seen or heard that you shouldn't have heard, sit down before the Lord and say, help me repent and get clear. Because repentance, you can flip your notes back to the front. Repentance, metanoia, change of mind, involves a turning with contrition from sin to God. The repentant sinner is in the proper condition to accept the divine forgiveness. Repent, metanoia, there's pronounced a little differently, means to change one's mind for better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. So I'm going to jump right in here, and I want to go ahead and invite you to write down our first repentance is, number one, a lost key that is found. Would you write that down? A lost key that is found. Where do we get the idea? Of course, repentance comes, it's all through the Bible. You know, the Bible talks all about sin. If you want to know what it is, the Bible will explain it to you. The culture doesn't want to explain it to you. It doesn't want to acknowledge it's there. Because if I find out that I'm sinning, then I've got to do something about it. So I don't want to know about that. How about that? Is that true? But if you want to get right with God, then you're going to bump into the reality that there's some things that you have a propensity toward that are your undoing. And that you can come and actually find a way before the Lord that He will grant you something to help you out. Everybody love Jesus. You know, not a one of you sought Him first. He sought you first. The Lord came looking for you. Makes it worth it all, doesn't it? And then gave you things you didn't have so you could do for Him what you couldn't do. You know, the first word in the gospel is not love, it's not grace, it's repent. The first word is repent. And it started with John the Baptist showing up. I have a little bit of that on your notes there. little bit of that says, but I'll read the whole thing. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Joel when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.'" This is what happens. Repentance, when you're given it to repent, it opens up your way to God. And God receives that, and he opens up his way to you. And it's a making a way for all the resources of God to come to your life. And John the Baptist came in a time of great dryness in the culture of Israel and religiosity. And he came and he was preaching, "Repent, repent, show forth fruit worthy of repentance." And people were coming by the multitudes out to the River Jordan. And he would baptize them into repentance. And he would speak to them and say, "Now go and show forth the fruit worthy of a changed life. You were going this way, and now you're going to go toward the Lord." And then, of course, the Pharisees show up, the Sadducees, and they show up. And he looks at them and says, "You brood of vipers." How would you like to be called a snake in the grass right there? "You brood of vipers, who warned you to, you know, again, for, about the wrath to come?" And then he tells them to repent. And you wonder if he baptized any. Later on, Jesus explains that he didn't. That they were not submitting their lives. Everybody say surrender. Repentance has to do with humility. It has to do with a pain in your heart toward the disobedience of your life in the realm of the things of God and in your own life and where you're heading, and you want to turn around and go the other way. That's what it's about. If I say I accept Jesus, that could be a mental thing. I accept Jesus as the Son of God. I accept that. But repentance is a heart thing where my heart changes and I go another way and there's stuff that I was doing and I don't do it anymore. And it's a struggle, but I quit doing that because I'm repenting. The change of a mind, the change of a heart, the change of the direction of a life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And since you can't get saved by giving God money or good looks, but you can if you give him sin, it's good to know what those are. So you can be unencumbered by the sin of your life and receive the rich fullness of his love and salvation in Christ. It's a lost key. Anybody ever lost their keys? Your car can't go. You can't get in the house. Nothing works. And the lost key of repentance has caused the church to not go anywhere and not get into the kingdom. But when you have the key, you make the place, the path straight between you and God, the highway of holiness. And you and Jesus meet because a wonderful Savior has come to save a miserable sinner. And if I'm in the sin-loving, I'm not in the repenting. And the world is full of sin-loving. And so, to say you repent of a sin, oh, how dare you! But I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. And I covet that you would too. That your heart have a flame in it, and you learn this key. I'm saying this up front because when we come to the end of the service, the Lord might point out a thing. This is why things aren't working, honey, son, and you'll repent. And the gateway of His glory will flow over you, and you'll step into that place of a refreshing, and the confusion will be gone. Hallelujah. Pride will be overthrown and strife will be defeated and humility be established and the joy of the Lord will be yours because you got the key. Repent. And He gives it to you. Hallelujah. This was so important to Jesus. You know, after John the Baptist was off the scene, Jesus took up the same message exactly. He said, repent. The time is fulfilled. Listen to this. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, in the good news. This was so important to Jesus. So important to Jesus. Listen to what he says in Matthew 11:20. If you want to jot this down, go back to it later. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. How would you like to be in a town that God does great things and they don't repent? And he denounces the whole city. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for mighty works done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than you. And you, Capernaum, I've been there. Capernaum is just desolate. You can go there on a tour, but nobody really lives there. Jesus' words came to pass. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it would be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than you. Repentance is so important to Jesus. Here's another one. Matthew 11, Luke 11:29. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. Listen to this, guys. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Hallelujah. Let's go on to the next point. A lost key that is found, number two. Repentance is the condition of citizenship in God's kingdom. Has anybody ever been invited to like a very, very formal black tie type, a very formal banquet of some sort? Ever? If you understand what I'm saying, you can't really get in unless you got on the right clothes. Is that right? The proper attire. Now listen, the right clothes wasn't the reason you got in. The right clothes, you got in because of an invitation. But the invitation required something. And you've been called. And your attire is repentance. To live in the kingdom is to live in the condition of repentance. I think somebody get liberated right now. That you don't have to have that fight in your head anymore. You don't have to have that strife. You can have all that the Lord desires for you and repent. Jesus was so into this understanding of repentance, and it's expressed in different ways. It's the condition of citizenship in God's kingdom. When Jesus called Levi, I'll go ahead and read the scripture to you. Levi is found in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 32. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. Everybody listen. And he said to him, follow me. Now listen to this, verse 28. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Repentance. He was sitting there as a traitor ripping off the people of God, and Jesus showed up and said, follow me. And he left all of that. He left that life. He repented. He got up and followed Jesus. He arose from there and left. Everybody say, repent. And Levi made him a great feast at his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples. The Pharisees and the scribes are always grumbling. And they're grumbling at the disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them and said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I think might have been realizing, if he, I'm going to finish the rest of this, but I think he might have said, thought, you just don't know how sick you are yet. Because if you don't know you're sick, you don't go to a doctor. How many men in the room and understand what I'm saying? I'll get better. Okay. Yeah. Verse 32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's an amazing thing. They thought they were righteous according to the law. Paul went through that whole thing. If there was a Pharisee of Pharisees, it was Paul. And he was out there persecuting the church. Just like these guys were chasing Jesus around, showing up every meeting, trying to get trick him, put him down, do something. And Jesus is seems he has this little hang-up over repentance. Why? Because it's a kingdom word. It's a kingdom of God word. You change your mind because you're miserable. In the light of who God says he calls you to be, you realize you're not there. And you want to change. And you ask for help. And you get it. And there's a clearance between you and God. And there's a place of your walking with him. How many of you need this today? I think last week I was sure that I was the only one that needed the message. But this week, I feel like we're all in this crater together here. I know this is true. There are things that have been bugging you and you don't know what to do with it. And the Lord's speaking to you today. This is the key today. This is the condition you walk in. This is what you wear today. You put on repentance. You put on the attitude of repentance. And things are going to break through in your life. I'm prophetically speaking. I don't understand. I don't really have all the particulars. I just know the weight of this word is that it's missing in our culture. And for you to make go the distance, you need to go. You know, Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda, and there was a man who was suffering for 38 years. And he told him, he says, why can't you get well? He says, well, you know, when the angel stirs the water, I can't get in time. And he says, well, you want to be well? Yeah. Well, take your bed and walk. It was the Sabbath. And he's healed. And a Pharisee sees him carrying his mat. And says he's breaking the law because he's working on the Sabbath. That's how goofy. And he said, who did this for you? And he says, I don't know. I've never met him before. I don't know who it was. And this verse, John 5, third little button there on the number 2. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, see, you're well. Now look at the next line. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. That is the essence of repentance. You stop doing what it was that was an offense to God. You quit doing it. With his grace and help and mercy. There's no way you're going to stop without his mercy and his capacity to come and help you. But repentance opens the door for him to come and live in you and to give you an appetite that's different than the one you had and help you with things that you couldn't do on your own, because that's what repentance does. It opens up the highway to holiness, and God comes down and puts his arm around you and says, let's go ahead together. Repentance. And they caught her. I don't know who was looking. But the Pharisees found some lady in adultery. The guy got away. And they brought her out in the street. And everybody's got a stone. I don't want to throw her and stone her because the law. So Jesus scribbles something down the sand and says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. And from the oldest to the youngest, the older ones knew just how sinful they were. The older I get, I realize I'm really a needy man. I'm a needy soul. They dropped the rocks. Jesus says, where are your accusers? He says, they are no more. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Let's look at these words. Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. You were caught doing something. Don't do it anymore. Repentance. Transformed life. When you repent, God doesn't condemn you. He takes all of your sins and He puts them on what Jesus already took them. They just come off of you and they go to where they belong. The cross. And every certificate, everything that you've done, everything that you've ever done that's wrong, thought, attitude, action, everything. When you come in repentance, God accepts that. It ends up being nailed to the cross. And then He declares to you, you are righteous in my eyes. You're righteous to me. And there comes this settled sense inside, peace. How many of you know peace comes when you're in right relationship with God? Kingdom peace. Everything comes via repentance, the release of that. Let's look at number three. True followers of Jesus repent. Repentance is a lost key that is found. Number two, the condition of citizenship in God's kingdom. Number three, it's a gift that is granted. Repentance is a gift that is granted. Before we get into the rest of this, I want to ask you a question. Do you know what the difference between the sheep and the goats are? Repentance. Goats keep butting. Goats don't repent. Goats wrestle with their own way. What's the difference between the wise man that Jesus taught about who built his house upon the rock and the fool who built his house upon the sand? Repentance. One saw the wisdom of God and chose it and went another way. Repentance. I'm going to turn from the way I would do things foolishly and turn to God. And it's a gift that's granted. I was always confused, you know, about that. Esau sold his birthright for soup. And he sought the Lord with repentance and he never got it. Apparently, God just withheld that one. Because it was so important. So let me just go ahead and say this. In Jesus Christ, when you seek repentance, God grants it. People can get so hardened over a lifetime. What one of our prayers for people is that, Lord, give them a heart to repent. Give them a heart to repent. Some of you are praying for your kids. Some of you are praying for friends. Some of you are praying for family members. Give them a heart to repent. Repent for the kingdom of God. Nothing of the kingdom will happen. No matter what kind of logic, no matter what kind of thing you give, nothing. But when they repent, it all opens up. The doors open up. Everything changes. Give a heart to repent. And maybe you're the problem. Maybe you're just so religious and so unrepentant in your own self. You give such a bad example. If the shoe fits, wear it. But I don't see anybody here, you know. Because if you're religious, judgmental and critical, you need to repent, because that's not the heart of Jesus. But when you repent and you have that soft, pliable availability to the Spirit of God, God sends out another signal in the spirit realm, and people don't find you an offense in their brokenness as much. Their brokenness has its own. People see out of their brokenness and they're going to see whatever they see regardless of what's in front of them. Jesus showed up and they didn't get it. You can show up with all full of Jesus and people don't get it sometimes. But when repentance is granted, the doors open up. Am I on the theme that God wants to us this morning? Is something shifted inside of me? And the Lord says, I'm going to show you the way. Larry Bizette shared about a 7,000-member church out in where he's from, out in Louisiana. And one of the senior preachers on the pastoral team came to him and said, Larry, I got to talk to you. He said, what's that? Well, the senior pastor of this church where I'm on staff got us all in the room and said we're no longer going to use the word repent in our messages. Now, I don't feel right, because why wouldn't we use the words Jesus uses? Says Larry said, what do you think you need to do? He says, I think I need to get out of there. He says, we'll do it. And the guy quit that ministry. Because people can't learn how to get in touch with Jesus there because they're never taught how. They're never taught, hey, this is sin, and you can get free from sin by repenting. And it's a greater concern to me that you show up in front of Jesus and you hear something like, well done. That's my ambition. So if the Lord says, you need salvation, I'm going to say, you need salvation. If He says, you need my Spirit, I'm going to say, you need a Spirit. If He says, you need to be delivered, I'm going to say, you need to be delivered. I'm going to do what's necessary to get a soul ready for heaven. So you're not hanging your head going, I never learned how to live the life. They told me that I would be fine the way I was. And I joined the club, but I never dealt with my sin. I was just a part of this group, but we never heard the words of Jesus. And it's happening all over. Look at this. Peter goes to Cornelius' house. The Spirit of the Lord falls on Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a Gentile that has been giving alms and praying to God. And an angel comes to him and says, send some guys down to the tanner's house over on the near the ocean over there. And they get a guy named Peter. The guys go up. Peter's going through all this thing with the visions with the unclean food. And God's saying, you know, kill and eat, kill and eat. He goes, I can't eat that. He says, no. Don't declare what I've declared to be clean, unclean anymore. And then he gets over to the Gentiles' house. And their Jews are taught Gentiles are unclean. And he goes in there and realizes this man has had an angel talking to him. He knew right where Peter lived. All this is going on. Peter shows up, begins to preach the gospel to him. The Spirit of God falls on him. They begin praying in tongues. They begin prophesying to one another. And he sees that all this has happened, that God initiated it. And he goes back to Jerusalem. When he's back in Jerusalem, he's talking to the Jerusalem council and giving them the report. And this verse says, if then God gave the same gift to them, if God gave the same gift to them as He gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Peter's saying. And then it says, when they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, are you ready? Then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. It's always the key. It's always the key. You grant repentance and you get life. You can change. You can change. If you repent, you can change. And God gives life. When we repent, when we moan out of our, well, I got caught, you don't change. But when godly sorrow rises up over an issue in your life, oh God, I need to be free from this sin in my life. It leads to life. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, this is not in your notes, but I'm just going to read this to you. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12, 20 through 21. Everybody listen. Listen to this heart. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you might find me not as you wish. That perhaps there may be quarreling and jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality as they have practiced. Wow. You read that today, Nick Goff told me, Montana, he had a side point in one of his messages, and he read a little bit out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Wasn't even a main point. He just read a scripture and went on. a group of people left the church. And he said, you know, I don't know where they're getting their theology, but it's not from the Word of God. It's from the world. And when your theology is not based on the eternal Word of God, then you're not on safe ground at all. Because sin is sin, and Jesus died for sin. Has anybody ever sinned against you and never said so? And you're in turmoil? I had that happen to me. And the people never said they were sorry. And I was before the Lord, and the Lord said to me, I was praying and struggling with this, and the Lord spoke to me and said, they sinned against you. Now forgive them. I got free. I can forgive because they never said it, but I was in torment. God, it is so simple. It's a sin. If you repent, we're done. If we say it's not sin, we're bound in darkness. Is that right? The last 2 Timothy 2. This is one of my favorite verses. 24 through 26. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. You need help with that. Correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. I was with Chuck Shoemake. Some of you know him. Really wonderful man of God down in Cross Point. Years ago at the Church on the Way, I led the worship for a singles ministry event down at Bill Bright's place, Campus Crusade. And he was preaching, and he was just amazing. And he's got this whole thing going. And he's communicating, and my friend Lori Sy, who's involved in the Cleansing Stream Ministry, is praying for another friend of mine, who's a lady who had fornicated with a man. And Lori, in a very gracious way, was leading her in repentance. And she said, just repeat this repentance prayer. Lord Jesus, I repent for fornicating with this man. And she said, for sleeping with this man. And Lori said, let's use the Bible term. Let's don't use the world's term. Let's use the Bible term. Lord Jesus, I repent for fornicating. The Bible words create conviction of sin, and true repentance and freedom come on the basis of the Word of God being acknowledged for what it is. And she was freed. Hallelujah. I want to invite you to repent. It's kind of like when I came down that time and I taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, they're going to want this. So let's have a moment. If you, by the way, you know, there's so many, I tell you, there's so many people that salvation is a handshake of some man down at an altar or at a door. Just saying, I accept Jesus. Well, and then their life never changed. And when your life doesn't change, then what happened? It was in the mental realm. But when your life, when you repent, you begin to go through the transformation process. Can I go ahead and tell you, the Lord is interested in some comfort down here, but your ultimate comfort is in heaven. You know what He's interested in here? Transformation. You're not going to have a whole lot of time to transform in heaven. You can go ahead and do it here. Anybody love Jesus more than they ever have? Spirit of God, fall fresh. We just ask for a Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, come. You can come to convict the world of sin and of wrongdoing of sin. So come and help us right now. Just if you says the Lord, I repent of that attitude. I repent. Sometimes it's an oppressive thing, and maybe a pattern gets in place, and you begin to revisit a thinking process that you feel oppressed by. I'm going to invite you right now to repent of the thinking process that oppresses you. Repent of agreeing with it. Because Jesus doesn't want you worrying about things. He wants you free from worry. So repent. Because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's never a condemning thing. It's only condemning when it is laid hold of in our own will, and then the sin condemns us. It's not God that condemns us. It's the sin that does it. It's the consequence of sin to put us under condemnation. But Jesus comes and says, if you look in my eyes, and if you can look clearly in Jesus' eyes right now, attitudes that have led you astray will break, because he'll show you how to repent of it. Something's going on here. I know I'm speaking in a general way, but Lord, we just thank you for the spirit of repentance in our hearts. I believe sadness is lifting from somebody today because you've gone down a pathway a little too long, and the Lord says today you can repent of walking that path. And sadness is going to leave you today, and joy is going to come in. I think it's quite remarkable that Jesus would leave 99 and go after one. And he says the same joy that shepherd finds when he gets the one. He says all the angels rejoice over a sinner who repents. And as we repent today, rejoicing. It may not be unto salvation, it just might be unto life. That life is getting better. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yokes broken in the name of Jesus. On the basis of this repentance, we break yokes in Jesus' name. We renounce works of darkness off of minds, off of shoulders, off of necks, off of hearts, off of eyeballs, off of ears. We break the power of the adversary's yokes today and the tomfoolery of his works of darkness. And we declare we're released into light because of a spirit of repentance. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, let's stand together. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Seal this. Amen. Amen. Let's fellowship together. Hallelujah.